Let's hear the word of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for all that we have in Jesus Christ. And we are grateful for this word to us this morning. We know, because you have spoken it, that we need it. And so, Lord, now as we spend these moments under it, Father, would you press it in upon us, that it would bear fruit for your glory. That Cornerstone Bible Church would be a people who stand. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. We have seen that we are in a battle. We have seen that our primary state as Christians is not a peacetime relaxed state, but the primary state of the Christian life is the state of warfare. We have seen that for those who are in Christ Jesus, who have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the beloved Son, Jesus Christ himself, there are now forces led by our arch enemy himself, Satan, the devil, with all of his forces arrayed against the people of God. Of course, it has been this way since the beginning. And the battle rages yet. And we have seen our tendency far too often to neglect this battle, to neglect the call to arms, to neglect the provision that God has provided. And I suggested last week that this text tells us the reason for that is a failure to see and believe the true nature of our enemy and the reality of the battle that we are in. And so my prayer is that you have been convinced afresh, perhaps, that it's been pressed upon you from this text that a battle rages this very moment in this very place, not somewhere else and not for someone else, but for you now. As one writer writes, you need to be aware that the evil one hates you personally, that the evil one tempts you personally, that the evil one has his sights set upon you personally. The battle comes to our very doorstep at this very moment. And the message that Paul has for us in light of that is one simple thing, one simple call. We have an enemy and he rages. He leads a spiritual army against the people of God, seeking their destruction. And what does Paul say to us this morning? What does God say to us through his servant Paul this morning? One simple thing: stand. Stand. You might consider many different images. Just take the image of a battle. Consider the battlefield. What's happening? It's chaos on a battlefield. There's bullets flying all around. There's bombs exploding. There's debris. There's blood. There's carnage. Paul tells us in the midst of that reality this morning, stand. Stand. This is not the message of one text in the scriptures. Again and again, again and again, the authors of the scriptures know there's a battle and they give us truth and then they call us to stand in it. Think of Peter, the end of his first letter. He says, this is what I've given you. This is the true grace of God. Now stand in it. 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul says, so then, brothers, stand firm. Hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. 2 Corinthians 16:13. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. And so there is a battle, and there is a call. And the call is to stand. The question that we're going to be answering in the next few sermons is how. How, Paul, are we to stand? And the text answers that question through something called participles. You say, what in the world? There's a battle raging, a spiritual battle. I have an enemy that's waging war against my soul, and you're going to talk about grammar this morning? Yeah, because your life depends on grammar. Your spiritual life for all of eternity depends on grammar. So don't worry about it. It's not that hard. But look at verse 14. Paul says, stand therefore, and then the participle is having fastened. And all you need to know about participles this morning is that they don't do anything by themselves. And you can see that by just reading that phrase. If you go in verse 14 and you skip the first two words, and then you read, having fastened on the belt of truth. It's incomplete. It doesn't stand by itself. It doesn't mean anything. If I walk up to you and I say, having fastened on the belt of truth, you say, what? Why? It doesn't make any sense, right? And so we need to understand that participles, having fastened on, they don't stand by themselves, but they're tied to the main verb here, stand. And we need to understand the relationship. Often, especially in the ESV, the relationship is left open because we need to look at the context and how everything is aligned here to understand the relationship. But stand having fastened, what does that mean? That at one point, sometime, a long time ago, you fastened on the belt, and it has nothing to do with standing. It just happened before you stand. Is that the relationship in this text? Well, I think when we look at two things, the call in verse 11, put on the armor that you might stand. And he says it again in verse 13, take up the armor that you might stand. And now he's going to tell us how that works. He's going to tell us how the taking up of the armor is the means by which we stand. And so the first means of standing that Paul gives us this morning is right there in the first half of verse 14, by fastening on the belt of truth. And so the point of several messages from here on is going to be stand, and then you're going to say, how? And today it's going to be stand by fastening on the belt of truth. And then, Lord willing, next week it's going to be stand having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And then the week after that, it's going to be stand having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace as shoes for your feet. And if you are sitting this morning going, I don't know if we need all that. I'm not sure about, that seems like kind of a lot of time to spend on this. And I'm just going to say it one time, you need to go and listen to the sermon from last week once more, because if that is your initial reaction, I think you have not yet understood the nature of your enemy and the reality of the battle which you are in, whether you feel it or not, whether you see it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not. And the truth is, the armor that God has provided for us is not chopped up so neatly that there's going to be no overlap between these aspects of the armor. Remember, in verses 11 and 13, we need the whole armor. And Paul gives us the pieces so that we might more carefully and particularly apply this armor in our lives. But beloved, we need this. We need this because the command to stand in these verses, Paul said it again and again, put it on that you might stand, take it up that you might stand. And having done all, to stand firm. The command in verse 14 to stand implies, in the first hand, that if we do not use the means that God has provided for us by which to stand, we will not stand. If you are going to stand anyway, if you are going to hold firm anyway, if you are going to resist or withstand in the evil day anyway, then God, in his servant Paul, would not need to tell you to do it, and he would not need to tell you how to do it. If we're going to stand, we have to use the means that God has provided for us to stand. And the first means that he's given us here is the fastening on of the belt of truth. The image is a favorite of some. The girding up of the loins you have in older translations like the NASB. It's a biblical image. It's not an image that you and I use in our daily life. Except if you're part of the men's breakfast, then Paul, or Sir Chad, sent us out a little graphic showing us the steps by which a man would gird up his loins that he might be ready, prepared for battle. You think of someone wearing a long robe. He's not going to be able to charge into the fight. He's not going to be have a sure footing on which to stand. And so the image here is one of pulling up the robes, gathering them together, and then tucking them into a belt so that the loins would be girded. The ESV has fastening on to capture that image of getting things together. Hooking it together. And the loins, this expression, Paul's drawing from two different places. In Isaiah 11, verse 5, we see that this belt, this girding, is something that the warrior God does himself. He's girded himself about with righteousness and with truth. And we see the image throughout Scripture to refer not just to readiness. It does that. We see that in Luke chapter 12. Jesus says, have the cloak girded up. Be ready. Be prepared. But also, that image stands in for the idea of the core, the strength. You think of the lower back and the abdomen as well as the thighs as the place where the core of someone's strength is for physical exertion, for battle. A weakness or an unpreparedness in that area will leave someone ill-prepared to withstand an attack. Stand by girding up your loins with truth. With truth. So the first question we need to ask this morning is, what is this truth that we're supposed to fasten around our waist, that's supposed to be at the center of our readiness and at the center of our strength? What is this truth? And when we look at the context of Ephesians, we see it appear in chapter 1, verse 13. Chapter 1, verse 13, where Paul says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." There we see word of truth and gospel of salvation. Gospel of your salvation are synonymous. The word of truth is the word of the gospel. It comes up again in chapter 4, verse 21, assuming that you heard about him and were taught him as the truth is in Jesus. That you've put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and that you're to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and that you've put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Here we see truth in Ephesians as encompassing both the provision of Christ Jesus for us and for our salvation in chapter 1, verse 13, the very good news by which we are saved, and our identity in Him who saved us by His perfect life and death. You see the provision in chapter 1, verse 13, and then you see our identity as we are united to the one, Jesus Christ, who provided our salvation. The truth here is first and foremost the truth of the gospel. The truth that is in Jesus Christ. The truth by which we are saved. We should recognize as we look at the means God has provided for us to stand in and to stand by, we should recognize that these are not haphazard things. But the provision that God has given us in order to withstand the assaults of the enemy are going to align with those things by which he attacks us. The provision that he's given us is going to match up with what we need in the battle. God is not going to give us something that we do not need in order to withstand, and he is not going to forget to give us something that we do need in order to withstand. And if we ask, why is the truth the first thing that we find here in this list, we don't need to look very far. We simply need to consider the nature of our enemy. Turn to John chapter 8 just for a moment. John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. And what does he say in John chapter 8 verse 44? He says, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him." When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. "For he is a liar and the father of lies." Why is putting on truth as a belt or girding up our loins with truth in preparedness for the battle the first thing that Paul tells us to do? Is because of the nature of our enemy. Satan is nothing if he is not a liar and a deceiver. And so where then is he going to aim the most intense attacks that he has? He is going to aim his intensity of attacks in deceitfulness at the truth of the gospel, because that is the truth of his destruction. That's the truth of his destruction. What is it that you need to bind about your waist this morning in order to withstand? You need to know that your enemy is a deceiver. And then you need to bind about your waist to gird yourself in the truth that in Jesus Christ, the enemy that does really come against you is an enemy who is defeated. He is a defeated enemy. Consider Colossians chapter 2. You who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. The truth that you need to grasp a hold of and bind to yourself if you are going to stand is the very truth of your enemy's demise. It is the truth of the cross. The place wherein your guilt, your sins were dealt with once for all. The only power that the evil one had was the power of death that comes by sin. And Jesus dealt with your sin on the cross, thereby disarming the enemy who rages against you. So where is he going to focus his attacks? He is going to seek to distort and twist that very truth. Consider a number of places where we see that. In Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 11, Paul is concerned for the church. He says this, "For I feel divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I'm afraid that you won't stand. I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." How? "For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaim, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough." From the very beginning of the church, fast on the heels of Jesus' return to the right hand of the Father, we see the evil one attacking the very truth of the gospel within the church of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We must take the truth of the gospel with blood earnest seriousness. With blood earnest seriousness. We must not think that we can somehow, we will escape the deceptions that the Lord has promised that are going to rise up within churches. We must recognize that just as Paul saved his harshest words for the context of the Galatians, where the gospel was being called into question, truth must be central. Truth must be primary. Do you look at the gospel of Jesus Christ, the substitutionary atonement that Jesus Christ accomplished on your behalf on the cross, the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead? Do you look at those things as one who knows that they have absolutely no hope if those things are not true? Do you look at them and bring them close to your mind and your heart as precious? We don't have to look far for these things to be called into question. Teaching that denies these precious realities of the gospel is tolerated very close by. If we're to stand, beloved, if we're to stand, we must hold firm. We must draw in with arms tightly to ourselves the truth of the gospel. Our life depends on it. Our life depends on it. We see that in these scriptures. Paul is jealous. I wrote to you, he says to the Thessalonians, I just needed to know that my preaching wasn't in vain, that you didn't abandon the gospel that I brought to you. It's the same message over and over again. Here are the words of life. But do you grab hold of them and hold them tightly? Do they form your strength, the core of your defenses against the evil one? Because we must not be deceived. The evil one will set his sights upon the truth of the gospel. He was doing it already in Galatia in the first century, and he's been doing it ever since. The reality of the gospel must be precious to us. It must be our very life and strength, beloved. Hear the call this morning to stand in it. Be done with truth being out there somewhere to be discussed and then left behind, to be taken lightly, to be left for Sunday morning consideration, but not to form the readiness for your battle morning by morning by morning by morning. Because if you do not bind the truth to your waist, you will not stand against this enemy. You will not stand against him. We need not only know the truth, but we need to love the truth and live in the truth. The best way that I think I can illustrate what this looks like, beloved, as we come to the end of this service, is to draw your attention to Paul's letter to the Romans. The best way for us to know what it means to have our loins girded with truth, to buckle the truth around our waist that we might be prepared to face our enemy and to stand in light of his onslaughts, is seen in a man who did exactly that. Listen to someone who has buckled the truth around his waist that he might stand. Let's begin reading in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know, Paul says, that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure. Let me ask you this morning, are you sure? Are you sure? For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That is a man who has girded up his loins with the truth of the gospel. And he is then able to say, I am sure. Brothers and sisters, that is not a verse for you to memorize that Paul was sure. No, that is something for you to take into the very heart of your being that you might say in yourself, I am sure. I am sure of these things. Have you lost your spiritual appetite for truth through neglect of the word? Has the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, begun to seem dull and disconnected from your needs? Is the truth that is in Jesus more precious to you this year than last? Or has it become something that crosses your thoughts more and more infrequently? Brothers and sisters, if that is you this morning, hear the call of Jesus Christ. Turn to him that you might stand. Gird up your loins with the truth of the gospel that you might afresh this morning be able to say, I am sure. I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That is the belt of truth that is to be worn around your waist. Not 10 years ago, not 10 months ago, not 10 days ago, but now. And when you put it on, you will stand in so doing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are prone to forget. Father, in ourselves, we are prone to be tossed this way and that way. And so we ask that by your Spirit this morning, we would gird up our loins with the truth of the gospel, that we might stand. Father, would you bring the certainty that comes only from the truth this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.